when they read from the scriptures that Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They say, I remember one Islamic cleric preaching. He said, ah, he was a servant of God. God could not have forsaken him. That is, these Christians don't know what they are saying. In my mind, that's why you are not a Christian. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't talk that kind of rubbish. The issue is that you don't have understanding. He was a servant of God, but there's a principle. There was something that he was doing, which we need to understand. Quickly, let's read Isaiah chapter 53. What I want to bring out is this issue of the fact that he laid down his life for many. Just to read it from verse 4. He said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And he said, yet we are still stricken, smitten of God, by God and afflicted. But it was wounded for our transgressions. What he was saying is that what was wounding him was our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. What was bruising him was our iniquities. That is, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. But what the Lord has done is to lay upon him the iniquity of us all. Are you getting the point? He said, for that reason he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now he was explaining some things. Let me just go down to verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, that's what I want to bring out, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Now notice this. He said, when you make his soul an offering for sin, I want to explain something about the word sin. This is exegesis. We want to understand the scriptures properly. He said, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, I want you to bring something to your mind again. As from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we read often. They say, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. People say that he turned Jesus to sin. Jesus became sin. Now, let me tell you, let's not deceive ourselves. That doesn't make any grammatical sense. It does not. No, are you getting my point? You know, we just read some. We get so used to reading it, we don't really understand that this thing itself doesn't really make any grammatical sense. What he was saying, in effect, he was just referring to this scripture that he made his soul an offering for sin. Are you getting my point? That is, I told you something, that sin must be cleansed. Are you getting my point? And you know, if you go and read Leviticus chapter 4. If you read through it, there are a lot of sacrifices. And there, it talked extensively about a sin sacrifice. If the priest were to sin unknowingly, before he offers sacrifices, he must offer sacrifice for himself. Now, he was explaining a lot of things about that. But there was something he kept on saying again and again. When he talked about a goat, it must be without blemish. When he talked about a lamb, it must be without defect. When he talked about an ox, it must be without any defect. What he was saying is that there must be no sin. And you have to understand this. This was a type of Jesus Christ. All these things were types of Jesus Christ. And he said all of them will be made offerings for sin. Are you getting my point? So he was not talking about Jesus. That God made his soul an offering for sin. And that's what Paul was referring to. That he made him an offering for sin. Are you getting my point? Who knew no sin? Because there was no deceit found in his mouth, and there was no guile. Now, you have to get this point very clear, because there was something about Jesus Christ. The Bible said that he walked in the manner, and in his footsteps, he left us an example to follow. Do you get my point? He left us an example to follow. There are times, I don't know whether to go into this or not, we're still talking about when things don't work. Are you getting my point? People will tell you that our father has spoiled the country. Listen, the son that will repair what the father has spoiled will suffer some of the consequences of the sins of the father, despite the fact that he was not the one that did it. It is called making his soul an offering for sin. The man who wrecked Nepal, so Nepal is not working, is dead and gone. Do you understand my point? The young men and young women who will repair it will suffer lack of light. Listen, these are spiritual principles. Christians must never give this impression that we have a right to enjoy. Now, I'm not saying you don't. But that is what, look, you see, there are things that Jesus gave you as your right. maybe if we get there, he said that what is a lamb to receive glory and honor and power and wealth? But check out Paul. He was worthy to receive beating and thrashing and travails and capsizing of boats. Because the lamb was sleeping? No. Paul said, I am feeling in my flesh that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. First time I read that, I thought Paul was mental. Are you following the point I'm making here? That is, when you suffer travail, when you suffer affliction, because certain things, in quote again, don't work. Are you getting my point? It is called making your soul an offering for sin. Because that is the pathway to making the things work. I'm bringing out the point. Because when he did like this, the Bible says, if you read Philippians chapter 2, let's just go there. We're trying to scroll the scriptures. Let's quickly go there. Philippians chapter 2. Let me start from verse 3. He said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude. Now, he's still talking about the same thing. That this issue of doing nothing from selfishness, not looking merely for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, that is, held on to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, He said, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What am I going to explain? Notice that verse 9 says, because of this, for this reason, God highly exalted him. I kept on saying this in previous times, and I want to emphasize it again. When Jesus walked on earth, he walked simply as a man. You know, all this theory about he was fully God, no. He said it clearly. He said he emptied himself of that thing called equality with God. You understand my point? And then he now began to reach out for it as a man. You are not following the point I'm making here. That is, as a man, he was now reaching for a particular position. And God said, this is the only way you will get there. That was why he told James and John. Let's quickly read that one again, just to get our scriptures references correctly. Mark chapter 10. Let's just read Mark chapter 10. Verse 35. James and John, these two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said, we are able. He said, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now, let me just quickly explain a few points about that. Now, they wanted positions of authority. Are you getting my point? Let's bring it down again to today. They wanted to be MDs of companies. They wanted to be general overseers of very, very great denominations. They want to be prophets that everybody love and respect. They wanted to be important people in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he said, it is not a matter of desire. Are you getting my point? It is a matter of qualifying for a position that was prepared. There are a number of things I wanted to note here. He said, he never said to them, there is no position on my left or position on my right. He didn't dispute that fact. He said, I know there is a position there. But for men to sit in it, they have to qualify. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. There's something about the redemption of mankind that God planned, that there will be a Lamb of God was prepared long before this creation. But the person who will be the Lamb of God had to fulfill certain characteristics. Number one, he had to be without blemish. Are you following my point? And number two, he had to be one willing to lay down his life for his brethren. There was one scripture we read which I have not finished commenting upon. When Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. What he was saying, that a man does not die this kind of death, which is empowered by the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, without having sin. Are you getting my point? Without having a place for this spirit to hold on to in his case. So he told his disciples, for that reason, I have to warn you ahead of time that despite the fact that I do not have anything, I am laying down my life. That is, I don't have any reason for the prince of this world to hold on to me and kill me the way you are going to see it happen. He said, I am laying down my life because I love the Father and I obey his commandments. I'm bringing out something. That's why when I went to Philippians chapter 3, God said, that was what I looked at. And then gave him a name that is above every name. That was what I looked at. You know, I was trying to emphasize the fact that Jesus emptied himself and walked as a man. And he was walking in a manner that we should follow his footsteps. Do you follow my point? Do you know the interesting part? It is not everything that is your right that you are supposed to claim. Do you understand my point? Paul will say it expressly, that certain things were our right. But claiming our right will hinder the spread of the gospel of God. Therefore, we left it. Are you getting my point? That's why Paul was explaining Philippians here, that you have to learn not to walk from seeking your own interest, but seeking the interest of others. And that was how Jesus walked. That yes, now we didn't have any sin, nothing. Now we have lived in peace. We have attained, physically speaking on the earth, equality with God. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? Enjoy, enter into rest and enjoy. God now said, there's one more assignment I have for you. He said, what is it? I want you to carry the sin of the whole world. I told you the meaning of that word is that there is punishment for sin. There's what the Bible calls a just recompense of reward. That everything that mankind has done and they will yet do, I want you to bear the penalty. It wasn't easy. There's something I want you to understand about the life of Jesus Christ. He didn't just wake up one day knowing the end from the beginning. No. The Bible says that he increased in wisdom and in knowledge, in stature, in favor with God and with men. You have to understand that favor with God comes as a result of understanding. Are you getting my point? The way of the transgressor is hard. A man of good understanding, the Bible says, he procures favor. You are following the point. That is, as he grew, he increased in knowledge and increased in understanding. So I'm bringing out a point to you here. He walked in life and God will have discussions with him. And this is the next phase I want you to do. This is the next thing I want you to do. And when God brought up that issue, it was, this is my personal opinion, it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because you will see that he was having discussion with Moses and with Elijah. And when he came down, instantly began to tell disciples about what will befall him in Jerusalem. That was when he found out. You are getting my point? That was when he found out. And so it was a difficult thing. So he said that, is it not possible for us to escape and go to a more comfortable area? And then we'll still walk in the plan and promises of God. And God said, no. He said, okay, nevertheless, it's not my will, but yours that should be done. I'm explaining something. That was what finally qualified him for the highest position. So he said, therefore, God highly exalted him. Now, I'm trying to bring this down to our personal lives. That was, he left us examples to walk in his footsteps. Now, he will now turn to James and John and said, you want positions of authority in life. I told you, position of authority is not imaginary. There are different positions in life. All right? All of them positions of authority. And remember the Christian mentality about the position of authority. God commanded the kings of Israel, you must not multiply wealth, you must not multiply wives, you must not multiply goods, you must not multiply land, you must not multiply anything, but just because you are king. You are supposed to be one in service to the people. So he said, there are positions of authority. So each position must be qualified for. That's the point I'm making. So he turned to James and John. He said, how do you qualify? He said, you drink the cup that I am drinking. And he said, no problem. Now let me tell you what, that is a pattern for every Christian. Do you follow my point? Before you enter any position, you have to drink certain cups. Now I'm not scaring you. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not trying, you know. But I'm trying to get your mentality right. that the fact that things don't work and you're supposed to endure things that don't work is called pouring down, that's making your soul an offering for sin. Do you follow my point? That is the ability of a man to endure this pouring forth of his soul as an offering for sin. The Bible says that is what qualifies him. Do you get my point? To become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the people in that area. Oh, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Listen, each position existed before people were born. And what men do by their lifestyle is to qualify for that particular position. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain to James and John here. That listen, boys, desire is good. But having known your desire, then I take you through processes. And you want a position on my left and on my right, that's a high one. Then you have to drink identical cups to the one I'm going to drink. Do you understand my point? Let's get back to the Lamb of God. So he said, this Lamb of God, why is he so honored? Let's get back there. Revelation chapter 5. He said, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now verse 12 says, for that reason also, you are worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, before anybody can, because you have to get this point, please, that everything that Jesus did, I told you something before, that when we're talking about, did I talk about sufferings of Job? I talked about sufferings of Job at different times. That this is what God does. There's a blessing that I call the blessing of Job. All right? That's conferred upon every believer that has done certain things as far as God is concerned. Now, that blessing comes to not everybody. Now, what gives you the blessing of Job is the suffering of Job. Do you follow my point? But you know, there's something about God. Job suffered as an example, not just for mankind, but for the spirits also to understand. Are you following my point? Therefore, every man that follows the path of Job, without traveling the long road that Job went through, gets the blessings of Job because, you are getting my point? Because he has already put his foot on the path of Job. And what God does is he will say, that, have you considered my servant? Are you following my point? You know, Satan had a discussion with God about it. So what God will say this time around, that once a man does something right at the beginning, God will say, this was the way it was with Job, thus far and no further. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But at the beginning, he must learn the principle behind the sufferings of Job. You understand what I'm saying? In the same manner, when he's going to enter into glory, using the case of Jesus Christ now, the same thing happens. God will also make demands of him. Are you getting me? Now, he may not be flogged publicly, stripped naked, and hung on the cross. But there are times he endures adversities as a true soldier of Christ. Do you get my point? Now, it's how he behaves in the times of adversity that now decides whether God will lift him up. Are you following my point? Or God will bring him down. I'm explaining something here, that the positions that people fit into, all right, were prepared. No, positions that people seek to occupy were prepared before they were born. The only thing they just do is to qualify for those positions. And how do they qualify? That's what I'm trying to explain. In all of these, I'm saying, it is not that every time, like I said, they take a nation as an example, that yes, the father spoils, you know what I mean, the country. Yes, but the effect of the spoiling is borne by the people that will repair it first. That is, they bear the effect. Are you getting my point? It's how they respond as a consequence of, what that thing brings out from inside them. That's what decides whether they will become the leaders of tomorrow or they will not be. Are you getting my point? It's not just a man who doesn't chop, don't feel very, very happy. Just say, go, just give me position to be uttering forth words that will be repairing things. Remember what I said about the power that sustains, that there is a power in every position, and what God said they should do is to use it You follow my point? To uphold certain things. But before you get that power, that's what I'm talking about. You will probably have suffered the problems caused by the lack of proper use of that power. Do you understand my point? Listen, let me just say this clear. Escapist mentality is not the passport to prosperity. At all. Never. No, no, no. Remember the case of, did we make this? Or those that the pigeon said. And the guy said, did we make Trafalgar Square also? That is, wherever you claim you are even running to, where it is better. God says, somebody also made it. Somebody sustains it by his power. There are people sustaining things by the power that they have received by virtue of the position they are occupying, which they attained by virtue of the fact that they were ready to have their lives poured forth as a sin offering. I'm getting a wrong mentality out of our hearts and putting the proper one into it. Now, you know the interesting part? What I wanted to talk about was Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God and let us go away. All right? But, well, please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Let me now summarize everything I have said. Now, we started by saying that sin, now that we discussed that before, sin has effects, and effects include staining things and shunting the blessing of God from coming down from the heavens. We have established that. That before creation, the person who will wipe away that defect of sin to qualify for that position, that the position was made, and God gave certain parameters by which somebody will qualify for it. And that when people qualify for positions, we should understand as believers that when you attain that position, it's to give you another opportunity to qualify for the next. That it appears that the life of a Christian is a servant life from the beginning to the end. That is, everything that you do in life, you have acquired the ability, like receive power, to be able to do more things for the people. That is, what God did in the case of Joseph was to give him power and glory and honor and riches and might. At the end of the day, he used all of that to preserve the lives of not only the Egyptians, but of those of his brethren that came from afar. Are you getting my point? So I want us to understand that in life, anything that you are dreaming about, anything you wish to attain in life, listen, every day what God is doing is to enable you, that give you the opportunity to qualify for it. And how do you qualify for it? That you are willing to have your life poured forth as an offering for sins. When I say sin, now remember what I said. Sin is not just a matter of somebody did something that is wrong. No, that when something wrong is done, it leaves an effect, like, let me use the word, permanent, that has to be cleansed by the blood of somebody else. You follow the point I'm making here? So what one does to qualify for a bigger position in life is to walk with God, and God will lead you to places where nobody you cause the problem, but now you go solve them. Are you getting my point? And it's going to cost you. And people will say, your friends here are enjoying. After all, you didn't make this or make those. You follow my point? You didn't start all these problems. He said, no, it's called pouring forth your soul as an offering for sin. That this is what men do when they are yet young. And then the time will come, God will lift them up. And there's a warning I just added to that. When God does that, he's not saying, now relax, you can enjoy. He said, no, what you did in a small level, I gave you a small talent, you turned it tenfold. Now I'm making you a lord over 10 cities. What you did in a small level, I now want you to do it in a bigger fashion. Do you understand the point? All right, I think I've made my point. Let us pray. Slide, come on, you come and do that for me.